Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Colorado Gardener, read by Christy McGowan, featuring articles from Denver Gardeners and Colorado Gardener. Colorado Gardening Calendar for February 2026. By Terry Deem Riley, Colorado State University Extension, Denver, Master Gardener. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. American Pie by Don McLean. Well, it's not as bad as all that. Even our disastrously dry winter hasn't been as catastrophic as was losing Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and Buddy Holly in one fell swoop. We've been doing our best to cope with historic drought, and now must begin preparing for an uncertain growing season. But we can avoid the day the garden, or the music, died by tackling a few tasks now. Trees and shrubs. This is the essential drop-dead month for pruning most woody plants, especially fruiting and summer-flowering trees and shrubs. Noticeable bud break will appear by the end of the month, if it hasn't already done so in this very warm winter. Avoid pruning spring bloomers like lilac until their blooms have faded. Water, water, water until spring rainfall kicks in. Irrigating once a week, just as in the summer, is probably the best strategy in alternately cold and warm periods, especially as well-hydrated plants survive cold snaps much better. And take advantage of the mild temperatures to replenish mulch before the heat of late spring arrives. Keep the trunks of young trees wrapped until at least mid-April, or later if temperature swings persist. Annuals and perennials. Take a walk around the garden to see what should be replaced and how much space there is for new plants. Early spring is the best time to relocate summer and fall bloomers. They'll have more time to expand their roots before they're hit by hot temperatures. Spring bloomers can be left until fall. As with trees and shrubs, maintain regular deep irrigation and a level of mulch sufficient to maintain even soil moisture. Review mail order nursery websites and catalogs and order the seeds and plants you fancy now. Popular varieties sell out fast. Seeds for 2026 should also be arriving at local nurseries. Many annuals can and or should be sown outdoors this month. Vegetables. Complete any cleanup left over from last fall, but confine the cleaning up to the edibles garden. Useful critters need to shelter within the leaves and stems in ornamental beds until cold weather is well and truly gone. Spread about an inch of compost over veggie beds and till it in if the soil is workable. If the soil is frozen, spread the compost over it in an even layer. It will work its way into the ground. Make a seed starting schedule using vegetable planting calendars on the Urban Farmer website or others. Check and replenish supplies, and as with annuals, get those seeds before your favorites sell out. Lawns. Rake turf to loosen compaction and remove dead matter. Miscellaneous matters. Don't miss the Colorado Garden and Home Show, held this year from February 14th through the 22nd. Stop by the extension display to say hello to your master gardeners. The park people are hosting Denver Digs Trees again in 2026. Applications for trees close on February 15th. Denver County Extension remains ready to help gardeners, even when winter lets us down. Contact us by calling 720-913-5270 or find us on the website. Growing for Good by Marta Kern. And this is from Colorado Gardener. Eco Arts Connections, MHC Mini Garden Program. Eco Arts Connections and Suelo Bueno, and with the help of Growing Gardens, are co-creating a program to encourage Boulder County gardeners and growers to grow extra flats of plant starts to distribute to low-income families, especially those living at or below the poverty line in mobile home manufactured housing communities, MHCs. We are especially interested in flats of chilies, serranos, jalapenos, poblanos, habaneros, tomatoes, romas, or any hardy big round tomatoes, called bolas in Spanish, cilantro, cucumbers, green tomatillos, and strawberries. But other veggies, fruits, and herbs are also welcome. Please ask, though, before growing. If donating is not possible in these difficult times, we are able to offer $20 a flat toward growers' materials and time, thanks to a grant from the Boulder County Climate Equity Fund. For more information, contact Marta Criazzi Kern at Eco Arts Connections, info.ecoarts@gmail.com, 303-359-3811. We are co-inventing this program as we go, so all suggestions and catchy names are welcome. More details will be forthcoming. At this writing, we anticipate picking up flats from growers in early to mid-May for distribution through Growing Gardens Longmont Farm to MHCs and others in Boulder, Lafayette, and Longmont. Growing Gardens already grows lots of plant starts for distribution to low-income families, but their demand has far outstripped their space to grow. The idea for this program came originally from Andrea Montoya, Suelo Bueno, a champion of diversity, pollinator advocacy, and rewilding urban and suburban spaces. It's an idea that could be replicated elsewhere statewide for anyone interested. It's part of the Wheels on Suitcases approach that Eco Arts Connection likes to follow whenever, wherever possible, meaning looking for what already exists that can be put together in new ways to make life easier, cheaper, and or more beneficial, and sometimes more fun. For example, how many centuries did we have wheels? And how many centuries did we have luggage? Someone put them together, and now we have wheeled luggage, more happily being transported all over flat surfaces worldwide. In this case, growers are already growing. Eco Arts Connections, and now Growing Gardens, already have gardening programs in MHCs, and other nonprofits already give plant starts to other low-income folks. Growing Gardens already has a plant to give away, distribution, and pickup program. So, if we do what we all already do, but work together, it will mean more food is possible for MHCs and low-income families who really, really need it, even more in these challenging times. If you are elsewhere in the state and would like to follow our lead, please do. But please always credit Andrea Montoya, Suelo Bueno, for the start of your program. Thanks. In the words of immortal, brilliant, improvisational tap dancers, steal that step, but make it your own. Winter Sowing for Perennials and Native Plants by Felicia Brower, Colorado State University Extension, Denver, Master Gardener. And this is from denvergardeners.com. The garden might be dormant during the winter, but you can still get your hands dirty and get a jump start on the season by sowing perennials and native plant seeds outside in containers. Some plants require cold, moist conditions for an extended period of time, cold stratification, to germinate. And winter sowing provides this naturally without taking up space in the refrigerator. By utilizing available and often recycled materials, it's also a budget-friendly way to start a large number of plants. One major benefit to starting seeds outdoors is that the resulting seedlings are generally hardier and can handle the fluctuating temperatures and weather conditions of a Colorado spring, leading to less transplant shock when they're planted in the ground. It's also a pretty easy project to manage. Once containers are set up, they require minimal attention throughout the winter. You'll mainly need to monitor moisture levels and water them to prevent the soil from fully drying out, and make sure the plants are ventilated on warmer days so they don't cook in the sun. Here's what you'll need to start your seeds outdoors. Containers. Save your translucent or clear plastic containers from the recycling bin. Recycled milk jugs, water jugs, berry clamshells, or other similar containers work well for this project. You can also build wooded trays, make soil blocks, or use pots from previous years. Scissors or utility knife to cut containers and add drainage holes. Tape to secure the container lids or halves and prevent them from blowing open in the wind. Potting soil or mix. Use potting soil or mix, or research local soil mix recipes online. Seeds. Choose native and perennial seeds that grow well in Colorado. Some good options are blanket flower, chocolate flower, penstemon, bee balm, desert 4 o'clock, scarlet globe mallow. Watering can. To pre-moisten your soil before adding the seeds. Permanent marker. To clearly label each container or plant tag with the plant name. To get started, you'll need to prepare your containers. Clean the containers thoroughly before adding your soil. If using milk or water jugs, cut them almost completely in half, horizontally, leaving a small 2-inch hinge at the back. Add drainage holes in the bottom of each container. Do this before you add the soil. It's a mess if you try to do it later and can lead to lost soil and seeds or mold. Use a permanent marker to clearly label each container or a tag with the plant name. Fill the bottom half of the container with moistened potting mix. Pre-moistening the soil will help reduce seed runoff later, so mix your soil with water until it's well watered but not too wet. Don't pack the soil down too firmly. Tiny ridges are good spots for small seeds to germinate without drying out. Sprinkle the seeds evenly over the surface of the soil. follow the specific plant's guidelines for spacing and depth. But you can also thin or split them later if you start with a lot of seeds in the beginning. Review the germination requirements for any seeds that you're starting to find out if they need to be covered completely or need exposure to light. Add a thin layer of sand or light mulch material to prevent seeds from blowing away, or gently press the seeds into the soil to ensure good contact. Seed finding tip: attend seed swaps. Native plant groups, master gardener programs, garden nonprofits, libraries, and smaller community organizations often have seed swaps where you can get free seeds. Save seeds from the plants you grow and swap them in future years. Secure the top half of the milk jug to the bottom using the tape to create a mini greenhouse. For other containers, ensure they are covered with a lid or netting of some kind to prevent birds and mice from getting to them. Make sure you leave a small opening for ventilation to prevent moisture buildup and fungal issues. Place the containers outdoors in a place where they'll get at least a few hours of sunlight each day. A semi-shaded location is ideal to prevent plant loss from excess heat. Check the containers periodically, especially during dry spells. The soil should remain consistently moist but not soggy. When the soil begins to dry out, water the seeds gently with a watering can to avoid creating puddles. On warm, sunny days, open the containers and remove the lids to allow for better ventilation and prevent overheating. This is especially important as the weather warms up in spring. Resecure the lids and covers afterward. Germination times will vary significantly depending on the species and weather conditions, so be patient while you wait for your seeds to sprout. You should start to see seedlings emerge in spring as the weather warms. It's normal for perennials and native plants to take a few weeks to germinate. The cold stratification process mentioned earlier requires a long period of time before the seedlings are able to sprout. Once the seedlings have a few sets of true leaves, you may need to thin them out to provide adequate spacing and prevent overcrowding. Use small scissors to snip off excess seedlings at the soil line, or wait until they feel stable enough to split the roots and move them to bigger pots. When the weather consistently warms up and the risk of frost has passed, transplant the seedlings into your garden or larger containers. Winter sowing tends to produce plants that are significantly stronger than those grown indoors. They deal with temperature swings, wind, snow, frost, and anything else Colorado springs have in store. It's a relatively low-effort, cost-effective way to start your own native plants from seed instead of spending a lot of money trying to purchase them. And it's a chance to get your hands in the dirt when you miss your garden. Digging into the Dirt, a humorous guide to the do-it-yourself soil testing and gardening success. Unearth the secrets of your soil and cultivate a garden that's the envy of Mother Nature. By Amanda MacArthur. And this is from Greenprints, February 2026 edition. So, you've decided to give your garden a spa day and treat it to some fertilizers and lime treatments. But before you start showering your soil with goodies, let's take a moment to chat about do-it-yourself soil testing, because your garden deserves to know its own DNA, right? Why soil testing? It's like a garden DNA test. Picture this, your garden, sitting in a tiny lab coat, anxiously awaiting its results. Do-it-yourself soil testing is the key to ensuring your soil is as healthy as a bodybuilder on a green smoothie diet. It's like a spa day for your garden without the cucumbers on its eyes. Every 3 to 5 years, grab a soil sample and send it for testing. Think of it as the garden's version of a checkup, but way more fun. What soil testing achieves? The pH dance. The rock star of soil tests is pH testing, and you can do it at home. It's like the garden's version of checking its mood. Too high, and it's a toxic dance party. Too low, and it's a nutrient-deprived disco. Without the right pH, your plants might as well be dancing solo. If you're really serious about your soil's well-being, get a soil testing kit. It's like sending your soil's DNA to a swanky lab. The results will spill the tea on your soil's texture, acidity, and nutrient levels. It's like Tinder for your garden, finding the perfect match of nutrients. Soil testing services, because your soil deserves the VIP treatment. There are more soil testing services than there are gardening gloves in a shed. Some even come with subscriptions, because your soil deserves a personalized plan for success. Imagine your garden getting weekly motivational texts, urging it to grow and bloom. Or, if you're a bargain hunter, universities like Cornell or UMass might test your soil for you. But be warned, they might not spill all the juicy details. How to test your soil at home, gardening CSI style. For the DIY enthusiasts, there's the Luster Leaf Rapid Test Soil Test Kit. It's like CSI, but for gardening. Grab a trowel. Avoid clumps like a gardening ninja. Mix with water. And voila, your garden's secrets revealed in living color. It even comes with suggestions on how to fix your soil, like a gardener's magic spellbook. And for the pH divas out there, try the vinegar test. It's like a mini science experiment. And who said gardening can't be a bit geeky? 1. The Alkaline Adventure. Grab 2 tablespoons of soil and toss them into a bowl. Now add a splash of drama with 1/2 cup of vinegar. Watch the magic happen. If you see some fizzy action, you've just unveiled your alkaline soil superstar. 2. The Acidic Expedition. Take another 2 tablespoons of soil. Yes, we're still playing detective. Mix it up with some distilled water in your trusty bowl. Sprinkle in 1/2 cup of baking soda and get ready for the show. If you catch your soil bubbling or fizzing, congratulations. You've discovered your acidic soil sensation. But wait, there's more to this garden pH party. If your soil doesn't throw any fizz or fuss during these tests, it's like the James Bond of soils. Neutral and mysterious. Neutral is okay, unless your plants prefer alkaline or acidic soil. Just remember, when your soil's pH goes off the charts, your plants might be in for a wild ride of nutrient adventures or toxic surprises. Amending your soil after DIY soil testing. The garden spa day continues. Got your results? Now what? It's time for the garden spa day to continue. Depending on what your results are, here are some additives to use. Combat acidity with lime-based compounds or throw in some baking soda. To boost nitrogen, give your garden a lush foliage makeover with manure or compost. Think of it as a green smoothie for your plants. Rock phosphate, the superhero for roots, flowers, and succulent fruit. It's like giving your garden a protein shake, but for plants. Potassium party. green sand or wood ashes, because every garden needs a little potassium kick. It's like a workout for your plants, making them strong and disease resistant. Bonus tip: earthworms, the garden party guests. A healthy garden is like a hotspot for earthworms. The Old Farmer's Almanac says that if your soil is 50 degrees and wormless, it's time for more organic material. It's like inviting the cool kids to your garden party. Thank you for joining us for Colorado Gardener. My name is Christy McGowan.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.